Introducing the new way to play daily fantasy with Jack Market. Jack Market is where daily fantasy sports becomes a stock exchange. Buy and sell shares of players with other users in real time. Make money every hour, every minute, every second of every game. Daily contests are live for the NBA, PGA, and the NFL. Take control of your fantasy sports experience and download Jack Market now in the App Store. Android coming soon. Everyone, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast for Wednesday, September 16th. Here we are in week two of the NFL season. It's a Wednesday, so that means we are talking rankings for week two. I am Michael Beller. I am joined by Jake Seeley and Brandon Funston. Guys, week two. Jake, how was the rankings process for you on Tuesday leading into this show here?
Same as always, just more tiring because I was already tired. That's right. I was already messing stuff up on podcasts early this week because the brain is somehow already fried. I don't know how that happens.
It's 2020 for you right there.
That's what it is. Yeah, sure. We'll blame it on 2020. Sounds good.
Yeah, Brandon, how you doing here this week too?
Yeah, I was working through my rankings yesterday and it wasn't too bad. You know, it's nice to have a week in the books to kind of put things into context a little bit because you talk about all these things and you think you know what you know. And sometimes you have to, you know, be corrected by week one. There was plenty of that for sure.
Yeah, plenty of that, which we've been able to get into on our first couple of podcasts of the week here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. This one, however, is for rankings, guys. And I like what we did to start last week's show, so we're going to do it again here. The game of the week, the game of the week. We highlighted some games last week. Atlanta-Seattle, that one came through for us. Las Vegas and Carolina, that one came through for us. What are we looking at as one of the high-scoring games here this week? Jake, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, that's. I got to say, I feel like I don't want to tease something. Well, I will. We're going to tease something we're going to get to before, but earlier, later. So, yeah, I can't even talk. Rams at Eagles, I feel like, is going to be one where you want a lot of pieces. And why I was going to say that's kind of tease-wise is because I feel like there are some opportunities for things to get right for the Eagles in this game. But I feel like this has the makings of a potential shootout, as does Detroit Green Bay, only because Green Bay looks great through one game and the Detroit defense is one of the worst in the leagues. And I think I wanted to take number two and number three because I think there's a more obvious one, and I was going to leave that for Brandon.
Oh, thank you. You're going to give me the Atlanta Dallas
yep,
layup.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I, as a Seahawks guy, I watched plenty of that Atlanta-Seattle game, and that Atlanta defense is not good. I'd like to think it was, you know, Seattle's, you know, great offensive scheming and all that, but I think most teams are going to have their way with this Atlanta defense, and the Atlanta offense is still what we always thought it was. It's still highly potent. So I can see Dallas bouncing back from a rough week one game and having a nice offensive output this week.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into the players in that game, at least some of the ones who maybe you're not sure if you're going to start that you probably are going to want to start here in week two. But we'll start at the quarterback position with our position-by-position look. And I want to talk about some guys who, you know, gave us some uneven performances in week one who people were probably starting almost pretty much across the board. The first one is Tom Brady, 239 yards, two touchdowns, two picks, 6.64 yards per attempt in that loss to New Orleans. Can't really say that he was without Mike Evans either. Mike Evans looked like he was pretty much over that injury that had kept him hobbled for the practice week last week. He was out there. He played pretty much the entire game, had just one catch, was targeted deep as well. But you know, Brady didn't really deliver in that first game in a Buccaneers uniform this week against the Carolina Panthers, a team that gave up 34 to the Raiders a week ago. Jake, how you feeling about Brady going into week two?
Slightly better, mostly for it's a better matchup. Let's be real about, you know, the Saints defense is concerning. The secondary, when Jenkins can be the number two, that helps, even though he's not the Jenkins we used to know. Lattimore can be a shutdown. Evans wasn't 100%. So there's a lot there where you can kind of say excuses for Tom Brady. Although, if you watched him, he also still didn't look great himself. But maybe it's a bad matchup. Maybe Tom Brady's that at this point of his career, even with the talented receivers he has, definitely more than what he had with the Patriots. At this point, he's kind of more of a matchup than just go out and use him every single week, even with those receivers. So I will say, you know, looking at the Panthers, this is a get right game. Whether or not that's 350 and three touchdowns, I don't necessarily need that to happen for Tom Brady, but I need to see at least double-digit touchdowns again. Maybe not two interceptions would be nice, and a little bit more in the yardage department. But I think if he looks not – basically, if he repeats that game against the Panthers that he just had this week, then I think we're going to be a little bit worried.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brady's a little bit half-baked right now. I just thought that was such a terrible performance. And, you know, it was his first game in a new offense, and it's been a long time since he's been in a new offense. So I'll give him a little bit of that, but he was inaccurate. There's still the same issues of putting pressure on him is going to give him big-time fits now. You know, he threw a pick six on an out that I don't think I've ever seen him throw before in his life, yeah. And he was inaccurate with that throw as well. So, This is an important week for Tom Brady, I think, because he's got a great matchup. He sort of got called out by Bruce Arians, you know, publicly, and Brett Favre had to come to his defense, and there's a lot of people looking at Tom Brady this week. So the matchup is good. They're at home. He's had a week under his belt. I'd like to see appreciable, improvement, and I've kind of ranked him as if that's going to be the case. I mean, I got him at the back end of the, you know, the QB1 class, and if I was judging him off of week one, I wouldn't put him there, but I think he's going to have a better day.
He subtweeted him. He didn't call him out. He kind of did it, like, underhanded. That was kind of dirty.
Yeah, I mean, but if you read all the quotes, it was like, wow, this is Bruce Arians calling the GOAT out. I mean, it did feel that way. It threw him under the bus a little bit, I felt like.
Arians has got to have a pretty fair amount of confidence that Brady can handle it, right? Brady can handle being called out by his coach at this stage of his career, I would think.
And I think, you know, I think Brett Favre said that, like, maybe they have this agreement that he'll be honest in the press about things and just know that I got your back, but, you know, I'm going to act like you're just one of the rest of us. Like I said, maybe there's an agreement for that, but who knows? I trust Bruce Arians when it comes to psychology with his players. So he's usually, you know, been known as a guy that all the players love, so maybe this is something that's a little bit calculated.
Well, let's look also at the back end of that wide or that QB1 class where we're going to find another veteran who didn't have his best game in week one, and that is Drew Brees. Brees went for 160, two touchdowns, just 5.3 yards per attempt. The big story, of course, for Drew Brees, for the Saints, no Michael Thomas here this week. Monday Night Football against the Raiders. Thomas likely going to be missing more than just a few games with this high ankle sprain. So how do we feel about a Thomas-less New Orleans offense going into Vegas, Brandon?
Yeah, it's another situation where, you know, Brees and Brady both had rough matchups and they both didn't look good. And then now they get a little bit of a reprieve here with this Raiders defense. So I know no Michael Thomas, but there's other guys, and Drew Brees makes other guys. And so Emmanuel Sanders will step up and they can lean on Alvin Kamara more. And Jared Cook is a little bit more bankable this week,
yeah,
Jake. Than,
yeah.
A little more bankable this week. You got to admit it.
No, he's not.
Come on.
The guy I'm not going to bank on is Tre'Quan Smith. We'll probably get to him later, but I feel like Drew Brees has enough still left, in this kind of a matchup, pretty soft matchup for him to at least deliver a decent results for his fantasy GMs.
Jared Cook's never bankable. That's the thing. That's the problem with Jared Cook is that even in the good matchups, he won't show up, and then he shows up in the bad matchups, and he shows
We've
up.
We've all
when
heard
he's
it. We've heard.
To.
We know the spiel.
Yeah. So no, I'm just pointing. He said
fault.
Bankable. That's
him.
His fault for trying to say bankable. Look, it really comes down to Drew Brees. I think that you have to have legitimate concerns of him. You know, in a situation. Fortunately, it's not outdoors, but it is away, and it is the West Coast, and whether or not that's a factor, I think kind of gets overblown at times. But you do have to be concerned. Without Michael Thomas, yeah, I think that Drew Brees falls out of the QB1 range, and that's why I don't have him as one this week.
Yeah, and that's why when you were dabbling in that range where Drew Brees was getting drafted, you probably came out of your draft. You hopefully came out of your draft with more than just one option. And maybe Carson Wentz was in that range too. That's where I want to go next. Carson Wentz and the Eagles taking on the Rams here in week two. Things got off to a great start for that Eagles offense. Look, if they were clicking. Look, if they really weren't missing Miles Sanders too much. 17 quick points out to a big lead against Washington. And then that was it. 270 yards, two touchdowns, two picks, 6.4 yards per attempt for Carson Wentz in what was a loss to the Washington Footballs in week one. Jake, you wrote him up as a potential little sleeper guy here in week two. Obviously, people concerned about that offensive line and with good reason, but you also see good reason for a bounce back.
Yeah, so just jump ahead, and this is going to be my bust who is a bounce back in general. I'm buying low on Carson Wentz,
sure.
So I'm willing to put him out there again. What people are overlooking is the fact that even with all that pressure, with all that situation with the offensive line, it sounds actually like they might get Johnson back this week. He led the league in average air yards per attempt, and a lot has to do with you have Jalen Reagor, DeSean Jackson out there, who Jalen Reagor, for anybody who saw at least two targets, led the league in air yards, and DeSean Jackson, what a surprise, was top 10. So you have him. He's going to be out there flinging the ball downfield. We love Carson Wentz's talent, and he has two nice receivers. And that was with Reagor coming back early and not 100%. So I think there's a lot of panic mode over Wentz, and I think people need to chill out, especially if you look at the Rams' secondary. It's good, but it can definitely give up plenty, as it just did. Honestly, Dak should have came out away with a better day than he did. Cooper didn't have much problem doing anything on that defense, and Gallup and CeeDee Lamb in his first game both did some damage themselves. So I think Carson Wentz is in a nice situation to bounce back this week, and I think people should be looking to buy him before it's too late.
Yeah, I mostly agree with that. I have him ranked just outside the QB1 class this week, and I'm looking at the guys I have ranked ahead of him. It's pretty unlikely you've paired Carson Wentz with any of them. So I think if you own Wentz, you know, I don't have like a Daniel Jones or a Gardner Minshew or a Ryan Tannehill or someone you'd likely maybe would have paired Carson Wentz with for depth. I don't have any of those guys ranked ahead of him. So I think even though the matchup I don't love in that round with Aaron Donald, you got to hope Lane Johnson comes back and that they get some offensive line things fixed. But I think Carson Wentz still a decent play.
All right, so Jake's week one bust who will bounce back, which is a new little feature of this week two episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast Wednesday edition, is Wentz already on record. Brandon, you got someone, a week one bust, a week one disappointment, who can bounce back in week two?
Well, I think the layup is Dak Prescott. I've already mentioned that game and the Atlanta defense, but Dak didn't do anything against the Rams. I think that changes. I think he's 3+ touchdowns this week against the Falcons.
Jake, you want to add anything about Dak? You want to move on to our next question?
No, I think Dak's a good one.
All right, how about that then? Let's move on. Regular who you think you should maybe be thinking about benching here in week two?
Go back to Tom Brady. Like Tom Brady, but like Drew Brees, I think, is the obvious one. I'd still try to start Tom Brady, but Drew Brees, we need to wait and see what happens. Like, wouldn't be surprised to see him struggle. Wouldn't be surprised to see him be fine because he's Drew Brees, but I think at least in the first week with no Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders running as the number one, Traquan Smith as the two. I mean, they might even try to involve Taysom Hill more just as the frustration of defenses.
God, please,
so, yeah. I mean, it's the truth. Like, you just, that's why it's a certain potential out there. So I think it's Drew Brees.
I'll go with Cam Newton because I just, you know, no. there's still a lot to question on the passing side for this team, and facing Seattle with Jamal Adams. I'm telling you, he is a heat seeking missile, and I don't think Cam's going to have nearly the success running the ball that he did. Bobby Wagner there. There's some speed on that Seattle side. You know, if you're just going to tell me that Cam's going to shift gears and just start hucking it around the stadium this week and not running so much. You could throw on Seattle last week. Matt Ryan did it a ton, but I just don't have any faith in that passing game at all. So it's going to have to be Cam Newton week in and week out, putting up good numbers on the ground. And I'm a little bit dubious that he can do that this week.
Completely disagree. That's no.
Yeah, I know.
Completely.
I figured you would disagree.
Well, because this is what we wanted from this is we didn't draft Cam Newton for his arm. We drafted Cam Newton for his legs, and he doesn't need to run 15 times. So, yeah, completely opposite sides on this one. So now people have to listen, and or maybe, Mike, you can break the tie.
I am against Cam Newton here in week two also.
Nuts.
I think I'm with Brandon with what he said. He's going to have to throw it a lot more, throw it a lot more successfully this week. Just can't imagine the 75-yard, two touchdowns carrying him every single week this season. I think we want to see more from him through the air, and I'm not buying that it's going to be there with the weapons that he has available to him. Sorry, Jake. That's just how that's
I mean, you can both be wrong together. Enjoy it.
Okay.
Can't wait to talk about this on our Sunday live stream. I'm sure it'll come up. Be sure to check that out. The Athletic Fantasy Cheat Sheet, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Check it all out. Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern. Let's get through the quarterback position here. Fringe off the radar guy that you think could be starting here this week. Brandon, who you got?
I got Jimmy Garoppolo. He's ranked 14th for me this week.
14th?
Yeah. Look at the Jets. That Jets pass defense is terrible. Josh Allen threw 46 times, looked decent, over 300 plus yards. They couldn't run against him. But I, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is just good for it, seeming like two touchdowns every week and like 240 to 250 yards. And I think he is a very safe bet for that for this week. And I think it could be even better than that. So Garoppolo, I think, is a fringe guy that's a pretty safe play.
Yeah, you know who else stinks? Jimmy Garoppolo, if you watched week one. I just had this argument with Pat Mayo on his show.
I don't disagree with that at all. Yeah, I wasn't in love with him last year, but the numbers netted out.
But they haven't, and he looks like trash. I don't care, it's the Jets. He might not have George Kittle, and if he has George Kittle, it's not going to be 100%. Still doesn't have Deebo Samuel. Like, this is one of those ones where, look, again, we'll talk about it when we come back next week and could be wrong again, but I am not going to – this feels like the trap of, oh, look at the matchup. Let's just play somebody in the matchup. So, but you've been on Jimmy Garoppolo.
I sat and watched Josh Allen last week look terrible. People coming out saying, oh, he looks so good. He was airmailing passes that I could have made. And it was like – and then –
again,
the number
– it's fine. I'm not playing matchups for somebody that looked that bad. That's all I'm saying. Like, you can. I'm just not going to do it. That's all. Done.
So then who are you playing as this guy?
It's until people put him as a starter every single week, it's just you don't even have to spend time on me in this one. It's going to be Gardner Minshew until further notice. I told you that in week one. I'm going to tell you that again. Gardner Minshew until people start using him as a starter every single week.
Jaguars against the Titans here in week two, and Gardner Minshew certainly coming off a very nice week one performance. 19 for 23 touchdowns, getting that upset victory over the Indianapolis Colts. We're going to move on to running backs here, but really quick, I just want to touch on the Cleveland Browns. This came up because I wanted to talk about Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, but this is the Thursday night game, so we want this to have a little bit more evergreenness than if we would have talked about Chubb and Hunt specifically to kick off our running back position. So if it's Friday and you're listening to this, just go ahead and skip ahead 3 minutes to the Sunday games. But really quick, we are going to talk about this team. I just got one simple question for you on the Browns after how bad they looked in week one against the Ravens. Jake, what do you got to see from this team on Thursday night to feel better about it in week three?
To put up 27, 30 points. It's the Cincinnati Bengals at home. Baker Mayfield looked like garbage. Looks like Kitchens might have been the problem. Although, look, Kitchens still probably is, but maybe Baker Mayfield is just not good. Like, that's a legitimate question we have right now. I mean, let's be honest about Baker versus Mitch Trubisky, and both of them, could you make the same argument? Absolutely. They both haven't taken a step forward. Actually, you could probably argue they've regressed. If you're going to face the Bengals and you're going to look like trash in the passing game, Odell Beckham was open. Odell Beckham had a ton of routes. Odell Beckham had a ton of targets. Could have had a good day. Baker stopped them. The backfield is a complete 50-50 mess right now. This looks like it should be more of a Nick Chubb game, but if that's what we're going to be doing this year, Nick Chubb is an RB1 in good matchups, but an RB2, possibly an RB3 in close games, then he's going to be frustrating all year long. Jarvis Landry still isn't 100%, but as long as he's playing and putting up wide receiver numbers, I think of anybody feel the best about Jarvis Landry. And then, as Brandon knows, because I think you added in my waivers, right? I'm legitimately concerned about Austin Hooper getting the O.J. Howard under Bruce Arians effect. And what that is, for everybody that doesn't know, is he's such a good blocker, he doesn't get to run routes. And if that's the case, I completely whiffed, and I will admit I whiffed on that one. He is not a top 10 tight end.
Yeah, there's a lot. I think I'm kind of with you. Jake, you might have even said this on Monday, that this was, you know, we went into this year saying it was a make or break year for Baker. And now suddenly it's been kind of, you know, the focus has been narrowed to it's kind of a make or break week for Baker. Yeah, this is okay. This is wash the taste of that Baltimore Ravens blowout last week out. And you're at home and you get the Bengals. So show us something here. But I, you know, like Trubisky, it's like with Baker, you get two or three highlights a game where you look, oh, okay, I get why he was the number one pick, and then the rest of it's just garbage. And, you know, this has kind of affected me and where
Wait,
I rank.
Trubisky or Baker Mayfield?
Both. I think they're both the same. I think with Trubisky, you can always focus on two or three throws that you're like, wow, I get it. You know,
and touchdown throw to Anthony Miller last week.
Oh, that was exactly right. But yeah, and it, you know, we'll talk about the receiver rankings later. I'm done ranking Odell as like a, you know, a mid-teens or fringe wide receiver one. It's not his fault, but he's paired with Baker, and that just hasn't worked out for more than a year now. So
who would have thought Eli Manning's better for Odell Beckham?
Yeah, exactly.
I think Odell would not have thought that, for one.
And yeah, competitive. If this is a competitive game and Nick Chubb doesn't have a decided advantage in touches over Kareem Hunt, then I don't own Chubb anywhere, but I would be feeling bad for Chubb GMs out there if that turns out to be the case.
All right, well, we hit almost 3 minutes exactly, so we're back, those of you who skipped ahead to past the Thursday night game and just wanted to hear about things going on Sunday. And we'll start with Ronald Jones. I'm just going to put this out there very simply. Jake, Ronald Jones is your RB22, at least as of our recording here. Why is that against the Carolina Panthers?
I'm sickened by this. I don't trust that much. Look, at least Bruce Arians told the truth for one game. That's really why he's here. It's a great matchup for him. It's arguably the worst run defense. They already were one of the worst last year and continue to be one of the ones, at least through 1 week this year. A great matchup. Had the vast majority of that backfield. Leonard Fournette, as you mentioned in the notes, 5 carries, 5 yards. I do think Leonard Fournette's going to get more involved, but maybe not to what we thought, maybe not 50-50. As long as it's Ronald Jones, it could flip any single week. And that's why I started off by going, oh, this feels so gross. But I think he has to be. You just have to. If you get bit by Ronald Jones at this point, you already knew what you had when you drafted Ronald Jones going in. So you know you could potentially be snake bit in any given week.
Yeah, I'm not that far behind you, Jake, in rankings. I have him 24th at running back. And I thought, you know, it was a tough matchup against the Saints. I thought he looked like a running back playing to secure his job. Like, he was running inspired. I mean, I know Fournette only got 5 carries, but it was a noticeable difference in just the effort and then, like, what jumped off the screen. Ronald Jones was picking up tough yards, and he played well, I thought. So I think he deserves to continue in that lead role, and we'll see if Leonard Fournette gets some more carries, and maybe that's something that we see a little bit more of every week. But right now, it looks like Ronald Jones is still clearly in the driver's seat.
Yeah, neither of these guys is Josh Jacobs, and a soft defense does not a fantasy starter make, but we saw what Josh Jacobs did against this Carolina defense last week, so have to be feeling good about a bounce-back performance for really this entire Tampa Bay offense as a whole going up against the Panthers. Let's move on to, I want to talk about a couple of different split backfields here. Let's start with Buffalo. Brandon, do we have any clarity on what this backfield is? I think the answer is pretty decidedly no. After last week, they both got 9 carries, that being Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. Moss turned his 9 into 11 yards. Singletary turned his 9 into 30 yards. Singletary got 7 targets. Moss got 4 targets. Moss did find the end zone on one of those 4 targets, but it just looks like the headache we thought it was going to be way back in draft season.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I've ranked these guys kind of in the late 20s back-to-back. I mean, Singletary had a 12-snap advantage over Moss, but Moss got the touchdown. You know, Singletary had better efficiency rushing the ball, but clearly Zach Moss is going to be right there in the mix. And it almost feels like just a straight-up platoon, just a good old-fashioned, like, Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams, old-school Carolina platoon here. And so, I mean, we'll see how this thing evolves, but right now when I rank, I just feel like they're one and the same. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, and I'll slightly lean towards Moss because at least he gets goal line carries. Singletary, you like to see those 7 targets. I actually put him in the buy low. It's like, hey, you know what? You could do worse than having to flex running back, but I think that's where they both deserve to be. And if I lean any given week, it's going to be Moss because this is the biggest problem. It was what we knew going into the season. The main issue is it's new Cam Newton, Josh Allen. He's going to call his own number, and he's going to run in his own touchdowns. And that's really what hurts the backfield of anybody that's back there, whether it's Moss, whether it's Singletary, whether it was Frank Gore last year. So I think that's what we have to face here for this upcoming future, at least until one of them pushes the other aside. But I don't think that's going to happen, it looks like.
Yeah, Josh Allen out-carried the two of them combined by about 50% in terms of yards and got the team's lone rushing touchdown. So Josh Allen obviously going to be a thorn in the side of those two guys. And J.K. Dobbins obviously going to be a thorn in the side for Mark Ingram. I think we all sold this. I know for sure off the top of my head, me and Jake were definitely saying Ingram's not really going anywhere as good as J.K. Dobbins can be and as much draft capital as they invested.
I think I was actually driving that train. So
Yeah, two touchdowns. I think we all took a little egg on our face after week one. Two goal line touchdowns for J.K. Dobbins. Neither of them put up huge rushing numbers. 7 carries, 22 yards for Dobbins. 10 carries, 29 yards for Ingram. But the usage has to have Ingram owners concerned, Brandon.
Yeah, you're talking to one. I own him so many different places, and I wish, and some of those places I have Dobbins as well. But it's not even good, because this is looking like it could also be another one of those Buffalo situations where it's just a straight up platoon. I have a feeling this week I'm hedging that they're going to throw a little bit more Ingram's way. You know, just as kind of a, just to kind of like course correct a little bit. But I think these guys are splitting things, and it's interesting. Who knows how much J.K. Dobbins played a little bit extra because there was a blowout game last week. If it's a little bit more competitive, does Mark Ingram see more? I know I saw Jeff Zerebiak, the Ravens athletic beat writer, saying he thought that Ingram was still somewhat in the driver's seat, but that this was a lot closer now than I think people thought going in that it would be so early.
Yeah, no, don't really have much more to add to that. The fact that he was slightly more in snaps, that being Dobbins, has to be a legitimate concern. Whether this is Ingram monitoring the workload, no matter what excuse that we try to paint positive, you can, and I'm not saying you can't be positive about it and try to find a glimmer of hope for Ingram. The fact that it was as heavy as it was, usage for Dobbins, is a legitimate concern. I thought this was Ingram, as Brandon did, as you said this entire show. Thought this was Ingram's job until he got hurt. If it's already started like this, let's talk about pure talent at this point of his career for Ingram. And arguably, even at Ingram's peak, I think Dobbins and him would have been on the same level. So at this point of his career, it is Dobbins. And if they're going to give him this many touches, I mean, Dobbins might be the lead, as in 60-40 split, or worse, I guess, for Ingram owners, or worse, for better, for Dobbins people, by week 4 or 5.
Well, and just to really quickly weigh in really one more time, you know, that game, they were so hyper-efficient. They ran a total of 30 running plays. Last year, they averaged 37. So the volume for both of those running backs was low, and I think they were hurt by the fact that they could score at will. Yeah. And, you know, so there wasn't as much volume. But
who's
even
will?
If they are splitting, typically they would get, you know, a handful of more touches a piece going forward in a regular game.
Very good joke there, Jake. I want to make sure that that didn't go completely unacknowledged.
I didn't hear it.
You said, who's will? Who's will? Right? They can score at will. Who's will? It's just, that's classic Sealy right there. That is just classic.
I was a dad 20 years ago, and I'm not even dating anybody.
All right, I want to hit on some week one surprises. Now, we don't have time to get into all four of these guys, to have opinions from both of you on all four of these guys. The week one surprises: Nyheim Hines, James Robinson, Malcolm Brown, Joshua Kelly. So I'm going to put it to you like this. Who is the one guy from this group that you are starting this week almost for sure? And who's one guy who you're maybe saying, week one was nice, but let's see it again? Who you got here, Jake?
Oh, the one that's not a surprise to me, Nyheim Hines. Like, if I told you, people in the waiver column, if you didn't get on him, that's your fault. Good on you. And the best comment I got, and he even took it on the chin himself. It was the best one. He said, I dropped Hines for a kicker. Go ahead and laugh at my pain. And yeah, good. So happy. But no, I'm not really happy that you lost because of it. But Nyheim Hines, I would even start him in non-PPR. I wouldn't have the upside that he has now, but he needs to be in your lineup every single week. Taylor's not going to make Nyheim Hines a non-factor. This is just the better situation. We talked about it on the waiver show already. Nyheim Hines is a starter every single week.
Yeah, that's my choice as well. His game is the kind of game that won't slump. He should get, you know, he can get 5+ catches every week, no matter who he's playing. And, you know, you can just see it. You watch that game, you can just see how his role should be solid every week and, you know, in putting up nice fantasy numbers consistently.
Is there anyone in this group that you're saying for sure no, or is it going to be circumstantial?
Well, I'm not loving Malcolm Brown. I mean, I like all these guys. I'm ranking Malcolm Brown last. And it's a tough matchup this week. The fact that they can, you know,
at Philly.
Kept trying to go with Cam Akers, giving him 14 carries when he looked clearly worse than Malcolm Brown. I think that's just something they're going to continue to try to bang their head against that wall until they break through with Akers. So that's, to me, is just Malcolm Brown biding time right now as the lead guy.
All right, yeah. Running back. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, I just, yeah, I can see, yeah, that. Like, Malcolm, you have to go for Malcolm Brown, but the concern is, I mean, this could be a lost job any given week.
It really could be, and we'll see if Daryl Henderson can get more involved in the game plan here in week two. That's certainly something Emery Hunt is expecting. Check out his week one myth-busting column that is up on the site right now. And if you need a subscription, you don't have a subscription to read that, go ahead and get yourself a subscription. $1 a month, theathletic.com/fantasyfootballpod. Getting onto our running back lightning round here. Let's try to get through this in 1 minute total. I think we can do it. The week one bust, who's going to bounce back, Jake?
Wow, I wasn't even ready for that. I'm sorry. So go to Brandon.
Week one bust, who's going to bounce back, Brandon?
Jake's dog, Barkley. I'll go with the easy one there. look, Adrian Peterson and company ran for like 4.7 yards per carry against the Bears. But I mean, this is an easy one because, you know, they're going to give Barkley plenty of touches, and he couldn't do much worse than he did last week running the ball.
Can I put this in quotes? So this is for everybody out there. So sure. Austin Eckler was not a bust, but he's going to be just fine. Like, if I told, this is what I straight out of my article. If you told me Austin Eckler is going to get 20 touches every single week, I would have had him inside the first round of drafts, because that's 320 touches. Only 5 running backs did that last year. It's 100 almost more than he had last year. He'll bounce back 87 yards. I'll take 87 yards every single week. He's going to do better even against the Chiefs. Stop with the Austin Eckler garbage.
And if I told you that he was going to have 16 targets on the season, you would have been depressed and maybe quit playing fantasy football.
Not if you told me it was 320 touches.
I think if it was 16 targets, you wouldn't be very happy about it. But we've talked about that plenty. You've got Austin Eckler bouncing back in week 2, and I think that is most likely a good call. Chargers going up against the Kansas City Chiefs in a little AFC West battle this week. A regular who you think should be thought of as a potential bench player here this week, Jake.
Let's go back to, we already talked about the team. I'll go back to it. Devin Singletary against the Dolphins, because this feels like if it's going to be a game control situation, it's going to be more Zach Moss and a 50-50 split. I don't really want to start Singletary unless it looks like the Bills are going to be passing a lot, and I don't expect them to repeat what we just saw in week one passing wise.
This is a, you know, it might be considered a weak one, but I'm just going to go with, okay, if James Conner doesn't play, everybody's high on Benny Snell. Looked great last week. I will say that if James Conner doesn't play and Benny Snell's the guy, I would seriously consider not playing him unless I'm really hurting at running back. Derrick Henry did not have a lot. I mean, he ran 31 times, averaged 3.7 yards per carry against the Broncos. Not the Broncos played him very tough. There was never a whole lot of daylight. He never really busted a big run or anything like that after, you know, 31 times, and that's a pretty good offensive line. So with Benny Snell not really being big in the passing game, I just don't think he'll have a whole lot of success running the ball against the Broncos if he's the guy.
All right, I wanted us to do this in a minute. We are at 2:30, so let's really try to get this one quickly. Fringe or off the radar running back that you think is worth starting in week 2? Brandon.
Swift.
Latavius.
There you go, good one.
Latavius Murray against the Raiders.
Oh, a little bit of Saints changing things up really with the whole offense with Michael Thomas. I like that. I like that call quite a bit. We're going to get to those wide receivers where Michael Thomas is not going to be participating in just a moment. But first, now's the time to really get your student loan payments under control, and you could be saving money by refinancing those student loans with Earnest. If you've been making the same monthly payment on your student loans for the last couple of years, odds are you could reduce your payment and save by refinancing with Earnest. Even if you have done this already before, with today's low rate environment, most people could save by refinancing again. Checking on your new rate is fast and easy. To start, complete a few questions online. It'll take you about 2 minutes, and then you will get a personalized rate estimate without affecting your credit score. There are no origination fees, no fees of any kind. Right now, you can get a $100 cash bonus when you refinance student loan with Earnest if you go to earnest.com/throwback. Once again, a $100 cash bonus when you refi your student loan at earnest.com/throwback. Not available in all states. Terms and conditions apply. Visit earnest.com/licenses for a full list of licensed states. We're going to get to wide receivers after just a few more words from our sponsors.
This is The Athletic's Shiel Kapadia here to tell you about Liquid IV. Nobody likes to feel dehydrated. Maybe you get a little bit of a headache, dry mouth. You just don't feel like yourself. But believe it or not, dehydration still occurs daily in 3 out of 4 people. With Liquid IV, you have the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. Each serving helps you get as much hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Maybe you use it after a really intense workout. Maybe you went out socially distanced with friends and had a couple extra beers the night before. That's where Liquid IV comes in. It is healthier than those sugary sports drinks, no artificial flavors or preservatives, and less sugar than an apple. Plus, it contains 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, and as much potassium as a banana. And Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. Liquid IV is donating 3.7 million servings in response to COVID-19. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. Liquid IV is available nationwide at Costco and Target, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code ATHLETIC at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code ATHLETIC at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code ATHLETIC.
Okay, guys, wide receiver time here. And, of course, we have to start with the New Orleans Saints. Michael Thomas out for this team because of the high ankle sprain. So the attention immediately goes to Emmanuel Sanders and Tre'Quan Smith. I want you guys to both take one of them. So, Jake, I'm going to let you take Manny. Brandon, we'll hear from you on Tre'Quan Smith. The question to you, Jake, you have Manny Sanders ranked way up at wide receiver 21. This is just purely a volume play here?
Pretty much. I don't like the fact that you gave him my – I'm jumping ahead here, but the guy, the boomer bust pick, because he's in my column. You should have checked the link.
I did check the link. Maybe I wanted to hear from someone else. You ever think about that?
Maybe. You'll have a chance to rebut me on Tre'Quan Smith.
There we go. So you're going to get your opportunities. Just tell us a little bit about Emmanuel Sanders is, you know, just, it makes sense, but wide receiver 21, you have him comfortably inside the wide receiver 2 class.
Well, I mean, I don't understand. What are we pushing back on here? Is Emmanuel Sanders as the number one? Emmanuel Sanders in a good matchup against the Raiders secondary? Emmanuel Sanders, who stepped up before when he's asked to be the number one? You know, he's not a true number one, and that's why he's not up inside the top 15 with the rest of them with Michael Thomas out. So I kind of feel like the question back would be, why not 21 for Emmanuel Sanders?
I like that. All right, Brandon, set up Jake. I ask, in what circumstances do you play Tre'Quan Smith? It sounds for you like the answer is none.
None. He's a – in this offense, he's a poor man's Jared Cook when it comes to consistency.
Oh, my God.
Is he a guy that's going to be able to live in the short and intermediate range? Because that's where Drew Brees lives, and I don't think he is. And we can say, he's had his shots here. Plenty of times. I've chased Tre'Quan Smith in the last couple of years – more than a few times, and like just been like, okay, I'm gambling on him kind of stepping up and securing that number two role. And we've seen that for the last couple of years, the number two role doesn't really matter at the wide receiver position for the Saints. I can get on board with Emmanuel Sanders. I can see how he's going to be productive, but like, I just don't see Drew Brees making Tre'Quan Smith a thing week in and week out while Michael Thomas is out.
It's not making him a thing. Tre'Quan Smith is a talented wide receiver who was actually on the field and ran more routes by a large margin on the route on the snaps part, and then three more routes.
Being on the field and running routes, I can do that. I mean, okay. We've seen that from him. He's had a couple.
Are you going to let me talk?
No, because I just don't. I'm not going to buy it. I'm surprised someone like you, who just hates chasing guys that just are kind of give you futility so often, you're going to bang your head on that wall again.
No, I'm just glad that we're burying somebody in 2 years into his career. Yes, Tre'Quan Smith was out there a ton. Tre'Quan Smith is more than just a deep guy, but he can be a deep guy because, sure, Drew Brees isn't the best deep ball thrower, but he made Ted Ginn a thing for a year. Like, that's, fine. Like, and that was my comparison to Tre'Quan Smith before the season started, is that that's why you didn't really want him, is if he was only going to be a Ted Ginn. But now, like, Ted Ginn and the fact of the number two on this team, absolutely. I will absolutely start Tre'Quan Smith as a wide receiver 4 this week. Not even a question in my mind.
So where does that put him? What sort of leagues are you playing him in?
12 teams. 12 teams? 12. It's every single 12-team league, he's going to be startable. This, you see the rankings. I have him as a wide receiver 4. Go start him.
We did see the big game out of Robbie Anderson against the Raiders.
I think you have him ranked 39th. So, yeah. You are you were saying he's one of the top wide receiver fours out there.
40? I have him one spot in front of Tyler Boyd after seeing what Joe Burrow looked like and the fact that Tyler Boyd couldn't get off tough coverage. Not that I'm worried about the Browns defense, but, I mean, are you going to tell me Breeze versus Burrow's first game? I'll take Breeze.
We'll circle back to that on Friday and see if you're still feeling Traquan Smith over Tyler Boyd. But I want to move on to a rookie here in CeeDee Lamb. We saw what happened for this Atlanta defense last week against Seattle. Basically, everyone got going. DK Metcalf had himself a very nice game. Tyler Lockett had himself a nice game. This Atlanta defense really doesn't look like it's going to be able to stop anyone. CeeDee Lamb, clearly the Cowboys want to find ways to get him involved. He got 6 targets last week, caught 5 of them for 59 yards. They're using him in return situations. They want to get the ball in his hands, and this feels like a really, really good spot to get the ball in his hands against an Atlanta defense that is vulnerable through the air against any sort of speed and athleticism. Brandon, we'll go to you first on this one. How are you feeling about CeeDee Lamb as a regular fantasy starter, 12-team leagues this week?
I feel great about him. I'm just trying to look and see really quickly where I'm at on the rankings. I'm firmly in the wide receiver 3 camp with him this week, and I thought he looked good in the first week against the Rams. It's a better matchup this week against Atlanta, and there's no Blake Jarwin. He should, you know, continue to thrive in that kind of slot role, work in that middle. And there should be even more expanding to his role in his game going forward. But this is just such a good matchup. I have all 3 of these receivers as just slam dunk plays this week.
I feel okay about it. I think that if you look at it, it's just the Blake Jarwin thing helps, but I kind of said that to start the season is somebody was going to get left out. Blake Jarwin being left out makes you feel slightly better, but yeah, what is the third wide receiver on this team? It's going to be iffy week to week. So yeah, startable, but I'm never going to feel great about locking him in 100%. He's better than Russell Gage, but how different than he is from Russell Gage when you talk about the offense being the third option. If he steps past Cooper or Gallup, absolutely. So that's why I would say, yeah, I feel slightly better. And you want to make this a bet, Brandon, CeeDee Lamb versus Traquan Smith in week 2?
Oh, I didn't think you'd take it. I thought that was too much in my favor. But yes. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
And that's the thing is I'll take the number 2 versus the number 3 most times. I mean, granted, like I'm not going as far as Corey Davis, but I think most times I'll take the number 2 versus the number 3 just for opportunities.
Why are you hating on Corey Davis like that? He looked good.
I'm the last person to hate on Corey Davis, but like I'm just saying, I wouldn't go as far. That's also the Ryan Tannehill run-heavy offense versus Drew Brees, so that's really what that comes down to.
Oh, man. Well, I love this CeeDee Lamb versus Traquan Smith bet that we've got going on here. I am firmly with Brandon. It's a lot of 2-on-1 against you here so far today, Jake. I love CeeDee Lamb in this game. This game, we talked about it right off the top, this being, you know, quite possibly the highest scoring game of the weekend. This could be another Seattle-Atlanta from last week where pretty much everyone who has any sort of fantasy relevance delivered in one way or another. So, I don't know, CeeDee Lamb, I'm really feeling that. And I've got a money where my mouth is situation. I've plugged CeeDee Lamb into a lineup over guys like Jarvis Landry, Marvin Jones this week. So I'm really feeling the CeeDee Lamb love against the Atlanta Falcons. And let's move on to Marvin Jones. Last week, you know, whatever, 8 targets, 4 catches, 55 yards against the Bears, but without Kenny Golladay. And that really felt like it should have been a better spot for Marvin Jones and that brand of offense as the clear number 1 receiver. And it just wasn't there. Jake, how do you feel about him this week against Green Bay if Kenny Golladay does end up getting back on the field?
I'll tell you, I feel the same whether Galladay's out there or isn't out there. I still think Marvin Jones is a solid wide receiver 3. First week, I don't know what was going on. I don't know maybe if just things were so focused with the Bears defense on taking away Marvin Jones, which was a smart move if that's what happened, because you saw a lot of targets for Cephas. You saw just involvement from Hockenson, which we expected. But Stafford, for watching that game, unfortunately, I have a friend who's a Lions fan, so that game was on my TV. But, like, Stafford wasn't even looking his way half the time, that being Marvin Jones. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like he only had like maybe 1 or 2 targets in the first half. He just wasn't going that direction. Yeah, so, you know, if you look at it, I think that Golladay, you can make the argument it helps him. But at the same time, no Golladay maybe means more targets against a weaker defense, although Jair Alexander is concerning. It just really comes down to, I think Marvin Jones is Marvin Jones. He's wide receiver 3. You know the upside with or without Golladay.
Yeah, he's just got some touchdown upside, some, you know, big play potential. He's basically been averaging double-figure fantasy, half PPR fantasy points for the last 6 years. He had big games last year with Galladay, without him. Actually, did Galladay play 16 games last year? It might have been all with him last year. But these guys, these guys can certainly coexist. I don't, you know, I'm not sure that the Green Bay matchup is one where I'm saying only one of these guys can eat. So both of these guys, Galladay and Jones, I think can coexist and have a decent fantasy day against the Packers.
Another game that's got some high scoring potential. We saw Aaron Rodgers looking excellent last week. Davante Adams, a monster game. So maybe Green Bay can have the sort of game against Minnesota or something close to it as they did, or have that against Detroit. And maybe we get another high scoring game between those two NFC North teams. I've got three receivers here that I want to talk about. We don't need to dive into all of them in great depth, but I grouped them together because they all had interesting usage to my eyes in week one. And I'm wondering how we feel that carries over to week two. The three guys, Mike Williams, dealt with the shoulder injury in training camp, but not only was out there and playing for the Chargers, but looking totally 100% and playing very well. 9 targets from Tyrod Taylor, caught 4 of them for 69 yards. Deontay Johnson got 10 targets in the Steelers win over the Giants, caught 6 of them for 57 yards. So Juju got the big ones, the 2 touchdowns, but it was Deontay Johnson who led the team in targets. And then Anthony Miller, we know he delivered 4 grabs on 6 targets for 76 yards and 1 touchdown, but there was, you know, the opposite of a silver lining for Anthony Miller in that performance, because Mitch Trubisky dropped back 40 times for the Bears and Anthony Miller ran just 22 routes on those 40 dropbacks. So Jake, I'm going to lay it out here to you. You know, take any one of those that you think is the most interesting and spin it forward to how you think it plays out in week 2.
No, here, I'll quick hit all 3 of them for you. I'm going to overachieve
here. Oh, look at
this
guy.
Mike Williams and Keenan Allen basically saw the same usage. The difference is Mike Williams had a very higher air yards per target. So if he is going to see the same usage as Keenan Allen with Tyrod Taylor, he might end up being the more valuable wide receiver. Deontay Johnson, solidly the number 2 for the Steelers, and that's what we hope to see, and you can feel good about that. Anthony Miller was banged up for that game, so he missed some snaps. I'm not putting too much into the 22 routes and overreacting from that. I still think he's definitely the number 2 for the Bears and somebody that I wouldn't drop for those people that are concerned. It's funny that 76 and a touchdown, people are still thinking about dropping him.
Brandon, can you do all 3 also, or you just want to focus on one?
Well, I'll just focus on Mike Williams, because I just felt like he was disrespected so much in for a 1,000-yard guy last year. But if you watched that game, if Tyrod Taylor – and Jake stole my bold prediction. I was going to say, if I was going to be asked to do a bold prediction right now, if you were to tell me that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the quarterback for the next 15 games and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are both going to be healthy, just the way that offense is set up and the way Tyrod Taylor plays – I think Mike Williams will be the better fantasy value over Keenan Allen. I mean, he just extends plays with his feet, and he likes to throw the ball up, and that's Mike Williams' game, and that's relying on timing and the precise route running. That's just not Tyrod Taylor's game. He's not going to drop back 3-step drop and get the ball off. And part of the problem is because he can just extend plays, and he likes to look for something bigger. So. To me, I think Mike Williams is set up very well.
This was one of my favorite stats of the summer, one of my favorite go-to stat lines of the summer. The best year of Sammy Watkins' career happened back in 2015, 1,047 yards on 60 catches, 9 touchdowns. Who was Buffalo's quarterback that year? It was Tyrod Taylor. So I think that the Mike Williams bullishness for the remainder of the season, assuming it is Tyrod Taylor in the starter's chair and not Justin Herbert, is definitely well-founded.
I wish going to tight ends, because I was going to say this would be a perfect segue in the fact that, also remember, he made Charles Clay relevant and Hunter Henry saw a lot of work from Taylor. But
Safe Hunter Henry. Safe Hunter. We'll be in tight ends as long as you guys play along in like 2.5 minutes, maybe even less than that. But we got to wrap up wide receivers. We love this position. It's the most fun position maybe on the board. We can't just skip through these next 3 little quick hitting questions. Jake, who's a week 1 bust that's going to bounce back at this position this week?
Both, 2. They play for the same team. Eagles versus Rams, Rager and DeSean Jackson.
Oh, wow.
I will say, I was going to say Mike Evans, who looked healthy. And just wasn't, you know, we knew that was a bad matchup against Latimer. You love that Bruce Arians came out and said he felt bad for him anytime he doesn't get 10 targets. Like, that is the squeaky wheel getting some serious grease. Mm-hmm. So much better matchup. Mike Evans looked healthy, And, you know, will be no Marshawn and maybe a little bit more emphasis on getting him the ball this week.
All right, Brandon, I swear I've been coaching myself up silently over here. I said, Beller, you can get through this question without stumbling over your words this third time. I know you can do it. The regular starter who you think should be a potential bench play this week.
I guess I'll go to Devontae Parker. He had a tough match against Stephon Gilmore, and you know, he had four catches. That's fine, but now he's got Tre'Davious White, and so it's a tough start of the year for Devontae Parker, especially considering he's not 100% healthy. So keep him on the bench one more week if you can.
I don't know that he's a regular starter, but to add to that real quickly, I don't know that it's not Preston Williams that gets White if Devontae Parker is not 100%, and they just say, fine, we'll let him be on the number two, and we'll shut down Williams as well with White. So just to throw that out there. I'm going to go – I mean, he kind of is a starter, quote-unquote. I don't know. Is this going – I'm looking right now. Is this too deep? That's what I'm hesitating.
Can't wait to hear who it is.
I'm trying to find one higher that I would bench, but I feel like Tyler Boyd. Is that too high?
Yeah, that's
too
good.
Low?
That's good. Yeah.
No, that's good. That's okay. Good.
Tyler Boyd concerns me just, again, to go back to the whole situation with Joe Burrow. You know, people came out and were like, oh, Joe Burrow had a nice week one for fantasy because he ran for 40 yards. Joe Burrow.
And barely even with that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Joe Burrow made a lot of mistakes. Look, he's a rookie. I'm not saying to say that, hey, crucify the guy for being a rookie and looking shaky in his first game, but he looked legitimately scared. It's a short week. I don't know that I feel really good about this Bengals offense till I see it. And so I'm going to wait one more week on Tyler Boyd, especially because he got shut down. I mean, it was a tough matchup last week, but he got completely shut down last week too.
You know, he looked only – the only time he really looked good was when it was a two-minute drill when he was probably not thinking and just reacting. And that's, you know –
maybe that's what they – what did Emery and I tell you about that? He needs to be in shotgun and point-and-click offense. Like, just let him go back there, throw quickly, find the open guy, and go, go, go. Maybe they need to run him in the two-minute offense or just no huddle a lot.
Yeah.
It's a team that we could see making a lot of adjustments. We know Zach Taylor's not going to be afraid of that, so we will see how they look on Thursday night. Too bad we don't have another podcast the rest of the week together, guys. We could get together and talk about it. But listen to the Friday edition. I'm sure I'll be shouting you guys out after what we see from the Browns and the Bengals on Thursday night. Really quickly here, let's wrap up wide receiver, a fringe/off-the-radar guy that you think should be in starting lineups this week, Jake.
Traquan Smith.
Going back to Traquan. How about someone else really quick?
John.
Oh, somebody else?
Oh, I thought you were talking to me. I'll
go for it.
Think about
it,
Jake, for a second.
Brandon.
I'll say John Brown. Jake talked about this. He's going to take advantage of second corners. He already did that in week one, and he's got another great match up against Miami. I think he had one extra target. What do you have, 9 targets to Diggs's 8? So, and this Buffalo team's been throwing a lot if you go back to last year. And I was amazed to see that Josh Allen's only thrown 2 interceptions in his last 13 games. He hasn't looked great throwing the ball, but they're letting him chuck it, and he's actually not turning the ball over through the air. Probably because when he doesn't complete a pass to his guys, the balls are completely uncatchable for anybody in the stadium.
So you want another one?
Sure.
Traquan Smith? look, this is 100% boomer bust, 100%. But 49ers defense looked somewhat questionable, like just not that scared defense we should have. And I know it, like, I trash Sam Darnold as much as the next guy, but Breshad Perriman still coming back from injury could take. I mean, he's Robbie Anderson essentially. He replaced Robbie Anderson. He is Robbie Anderson. Sam Darnold needs somebody else besides Crowder. If he could just get somebody 3 catches and have it turn into 100 and a touchdown, it's Breshad Perriman. That's a lottery ticket if you ever saw one, though.
All right, now we are ready to move on to the tight end position, and we're going to start with a couple of guys who had very nice week ones and guys who begin a lot of questions about. The first one is TJ Hockenson, caught all 5 of his targets for 56 yards and a touchdown against the Bears last week. Brandon, he was part of that group of guys who entered this season as a fringe tight end one from week to week, and also as someone who could potentially be one of our breakout tight ends this season. Is he locked in as a starter after what you saw in week one?
Well, Kenny Galladay being out certainly helps, but I think, you know, you look at the guys like Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson and Jonnu Smith and Dallas Goedert, these breakout tight ends, you probably, if you have Hockenson, you decided, I don't want a top-tier tight end, I'm going to take a chance on TJ Hockenson having a second-year breakout. And so far, so good. And so you're probably rolling the dice on him. You know, is he going to be this consistent week in and week out? Probably not. But, you know, rather than try to predict it, I think you're kind of locked in with Hockenson if you own him.
I think he actually might be. This is my breakout tight end of the year, and I see no reason to get off TJ Hockenson even with Golladay out there, because what did everybody love about this offense? They kept talking about Matthew Stafford. Well, why wouldn't you love the third option in this offense? Because even as a rookie, this is what I included in the breakout column. Third most snaps in the games he played, fourth most targets behind Amendola. If he plays the third most snaps again this year, which might even go up, I'm pretty sure he's going to even have more targets than Amendola this year. So that's why I think he might actually be more consistent.
All right, same exact question, different tight end, though. Dallas Goedert, is he locked in as a starter after what we saw from him last week? 8 grabs, 9 targets, 101 yards, and a touchdown. This is a team that, Jake, you are bullish on those receivers. We know this week, but still, Goedert is one of the best pass catchers on that team, bar none. Could maybe be a top five tight end if he wasn't blocked by Zach Ertz. And, hey, had a better game, at least statistically speaking, than Ertz did last week. Is he locked in as a starter?
Maybe. Like for people that play poker, I feel like I was holding a straight and the fifth heart potential came out on the river for somebody. Like, there's 3 hearts now on there, to give you an idea of, like, I feel good, but I'm scared somebody might have something a little bit better. Like, I feel like somebody might have hit their flush on me. And the fact that Dallas Goedert is the second tight end on this team, Jalen Reagor wasn't 100%, Deshaun Jackson, like, I don't understand, like, if he was fine, why are we working up his snaps? Like, he looked fine in week one. He was fine before that. Why are we going to give him more snaps? But they said that. They said we're going to work him in and get him more snaps. More Deshaun Jackson, more Jalen Reagor. Zach Ertz is still Zach Ertz. It just makes me concerned for the fourth option, as good as Goedert is. I would love Goedert on 27 other teams in the NFL. And then Miles Sanders, if he's back. So I say yes. And if you want to drop Hooper for Goedert, go ahead. But I just, I feel pensive about it.
I don't. I mean, these two guys are kind of the centerpiece of the passing game now. You know, whoever is out there, wide receiver, I don't think it's changing. Like, Dallas Goedert is not really, talent wise much worse than Zach Ertz. I'm not even sure he is. They're a little bit different, but, like, it's like if you look at Buffalo with Stephon Diggs and John Brown, and if Stephon Diggs is going to draw the better coverage, then John Brown is going to be the better wide receiver. And I think that's the case in Philadelphia. If Zach Ertz is going to be the guy that defenses are going to want to focus on, then I think Dallas Goedert's going to continue to take advantage of it over and over and over again. And I do think he is one of the 5 best tight ends in the league. And so I think he's a slam dunk play. He was a top 10 guy last year. I don't know that this is going to change. I don't think
He wasn't a top 10 until they had Greg Ward as their leading wide receiver.
Yeah, but man, it's been so long. Deshaun Jackson was there. Jalen Reagor, they're nice.
No, he wasn't. Not at that point.
No, I'm just saying, like, in week one, like, they had Reagor, they had Deshaun Jackson, and Dallas Goedert showed out. I don't think this is going away. I think they've realized that their 2 best receivers on this team are Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz.
Oh, we'll see. I would disagree with that.
That's fine.
Target wise, I mean, they were top 2 in targets last week, correct? Right? 9 for Goedert and 7 for Ertz.
Right. And I just think Jalen Reagor is the best wide receiver on this team. And I know you said receiver, but also, I mean, we are including the tight ends here. I just think as Reagor gets involved, it's just not going to be good for Goedert. That's my concern.
I am very interested to see what a healthy Miles Sanders does to this offense, and we might not see it this week, no matter what. Even if he comes back, we might not see a fully healthy Miles Sanders, and we might not see Miles Sanders, period. But an interesting game with the Eagles and the Rams getting together in week 2. It was a good week for that group of tight ends. If you invested in that, like tight end 10 through tight end 15, 16 range in your draft, you probably felt pretty decent about your tight end. One guy we're not going to talk about, unless one of you guys brings him up in the lightning round, is Jonnu Smith. He had a touchdown. The guy who I do want to ask you about is Noah Fant, because he got in the end zone too. 6 targets, 5 grabs, 81 yards. Cortland Sutton being out maybe has a little something to do with that, but still, probably not going to see Cortland Sutton for at least another couple of weeks here with that shoulder injury. So are we feeling good about Noah Fant against this Pittsburgh Steelers defense this week, Brandon?
I'm having a hard time coming to terms with Cortland Sutton being out a couple more weeks. Is that true? Like, I thought he was close. Hopefully it's no more than 1 more game, but certainly as long as Cortland Sutton is out, like, Noah Fant, that's just going to be better for him. But again, it's like TJ Hockenson. I think if you drafted Noah Fant or TJ Hockenson, you're expecting this to be a better year than last year and a bit of a breakout. And so you're just you're going to continue to ride that. If you own Noah Fant, I really don't see a reason why you would decide to bench him this week unless you're completely stacked at the position.
If Sutton's back, I would strongly consider it against the Steelers defense. But if no Sutton, then I feel like Fant's a play. What I talked about, it was either in the waiver. I forget what column I talked about it in at this point. But it really just comes down to if Sutton's out there and Fant's the number three question mark, it just comes down to Drew Lock. I didn't see a lot from Drew Lock in week one to be like, yeah, I trust Fant against everybody if there's three all healthy weapons, including Judy. So Sutton, it's easy for me. Sutton's out there. I would consider benching him. No Sutton, I think you have to play him.
All right, we can't pretend like it was all good at this position last week, so I do want to talk about one guy who disappointed, Evan Engram. 2 catches on 7 targets for 9 yards against the Steelers. Giants head to Chicago to take on the Bears this week. Jake, where's your trust level at with Evan Engram?
Same it was before preseason, victory lap on a bad guy. Like, I kept telling everybody, he's potentially the 5th option in this offense, and he was 4th with no Golden Tate. I don't trust him, and I still don't trust. Nothing's changed for me because I'm joking side, tongue in cheek here, is because I did the Ducks concern in the waiver article, and everybody was like, no Evan Engram? No Evan Engram? And I was like, well, technically, I would have put 3 Ducks before the season start, and he still has 3 Ducks. I don't trust him.
It's crazy, though. I think that he's getting buried a little bit too hard for that awful game. I mean, if you watch
dropping him.
No, I know, but he had 7 targets. I mean, he only caught 2 of them. He was close on some. Like, man, it could have been a whole lot better for him. He pulled in
part
a couple
of it was
more
his
of
own
those.
Fault.
But, yeah, I mean, the 7 targets was good. I mean, we know who Evan Engram is. It's really more about the injury history than it is about what he can do production-wise. It's not in the pecking order when everybody's healthy. It's going to hurt. But this will be a team that's throwing the ball a decent amount. So I don't think you're cutting him. I just, right now maybe you're benching him against the Bears and going with one of these breakout guys that we've been talking about. Maybe one of these guys is out there. Maybe Jonnu Smith was someone you could pick up in the meantime, but I think he's still
well. You could chase at tight end. I mean, that's the thing is like we do, unless you have one of the 6, then just chase whoever you want to chase. And I will say this, Brandon, if he doesn't do anything against the Bears with no Golden Tate likely again, yes, you can cut him. Goodbye. You are
right,
the weakest link.
He's looking like it after what we saw.
Well, the thing is too is Barkley,
Sterling Shepard.
Barkley is lined up on the line of scrimmage, running routes a lot in that game too. So,
what do you have? 6 targets in that game?
I think he had more than that actually.
He had 6 catches.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hit this lightning round here really quick. A week 1 bust at the tight end position. Who we think can bounce back here in week 2? Who you got? Let's go to let's go to Brandon.
Don't go to me.
We'll
go to Jake. Evan Engram. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's Tyler Higbee. Tyler Higbee. Everybody's legitimately concerned, and they're jumping to conclusions in the fact that like, oh, we knew Gerald Everett was going to be. So first of all, Gerald Everett wasn't out there a lot. Tyler Higbee was clearly the one used more, and Gerald Everett sounds like he got banged up in that game too. I think it's a nice week for Higbee to get right. This is going to be what's frustrating about the Rams though, is it's trying to figure out who is third. Is it Josh Reynolds? Is it Van Jefferson? Is it Higbee any given week? But I think Higbee can get right against the Eagles.
Yeah, I actually have Tyler Higbee, who I kind of was down on. I have him ranked 5th this week, so I like that. I'm going to say Hayden Hurst, too. I just think there's going to be a lot of points in this game against Dallas. Leighton Vander Esch is out for Dallas now. That's just a team, a defense that I think, obviously both the offenses can pick on the other side. But I think Hayden Hurst shows a little bit better this week than he did in his debut for Atlanta last week.
All right, let's move on to our second standard question here. A regular who you think should be thought of as potentially a bench guy this week?
I will say Rob Gronkowski, who should not be considered a regular anymore. He was out. He was on the field a ton and was not used in the passing game hardly at all. But I was down on Rob Gronkowski going in. I did not rank him as a top 12 tight end going into the season. And I saw week 1 as validation of that. And I think he's more name brand than actual production this year.
Sure. That kind of feels like, I guess, Austin Hooper, although I don't think a lot of people want to start him after week 1 and all the concerns I point out in the waiver column. But I mean, it's tight end again. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, first of all, to get to regulars, can we call anybody outside the top 6 a regular anyway?
It's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point. It's fair for sure.
Just play the matchups after that. Yeah. And if you want to, I keep saying it, if you want to make the argument for anybody, I'm not going to argue too hard at tight end. You want to hopefully get a touchdown. That's what it comes down to.
All right. Well, we got a lot of touchdowns out of this position, and that was last week. I mean, a lot of touchdowns out of this position, and that's what you're looking for if you don't have one of those six. So, Jake, who is someone that we would qualify as a fringe or off-the-radar guy who maybe gets in the end zone is worth starting this week?
Oh, this is going to be super easy, and I have a feeling that if you read the waivers, if you're listening to us, and I'm not saying just me before this first week, and you were out there making the stash in case, it's Logan Thomas, and it's Logan Thomas going against the Arizona Cardinals, who still can't defend the tight end position, and it's Logan Thomas, who technically kind of was the number two wide receiver ahead of Steve Sims, at least from Dwayne Haskins' perspective, and usage and targets. Sims ran more routes, but Logan Thomas was targeted a hell of a lot more, so I think Logan Thomas he's going to be widely picked up this week and for good reason.
Yeah, that was my guy. I mean, he was the obvious pickup at the tight end position with the eight targets. They had a lot of hyperbolic things to say about him in the preseason about how well he looked, and then getting all those looks in week one just was further a statement of that. So yeah, I think I got him 14th this week, and that might even be a little bit low.
This year's Darren Waller for your hyperbolic speech.
That is hyperbolic right there. I like that a lot though. Remember Darren Waller? He was even drafted last year. He came, he was a quick pickup, and he got some steam at the end of draft season, but he was probably undrafted in 80% of leagues. Is that too high? Am I misremembering that?
I don't remember. I was kind of high on him because I was into him for Hard Knocks, and I remember Jake actually would mention him a decent amount as a sleeper. So but probably went undrafted in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, well, maybe Logan Thomas can be that guy this season, but we'll have to check in on that next week because we are done for this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Anyone out there in the iTunes, Spotify, anything else like that, any of that universe, please do rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. And what are you waiting for? Get yourself a subscription to The Athletic, just $1 a month at theathletic.com/fantasyfootballpod. For Jake and Brandon, I am Michael Beller at the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast with Nando DeFino. Jake Seeley and Eric Moody will be back with you tomorrow. The three of us will be back with you on Monday when we are talking week 3 waivers. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great day.